For Cybercrime Radio, I'm Amanda Glasner, Deputy Editor at Cybercrime Magazine. Today's episode is sponsored by the Federal Business Council, a producer of events to foster meaningful engagement for federal government agencies, the Department of Defense, and the intelligence community throughout the United States. To learn more, visit fbcinc.com. Joining me today is Heather Engel, Managing Partner at Strategic Cyber Partners. Heather, welcome.
Hey, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
Today, we're talking about securing the federal technology landscape, which is an ongoing area of focus for agencies of all sizes. To help improve their systems, the White House and Congress are issuing government-wide guidance. This, along with updates to technology standards and acquisition rules, is driving agencies to invest in commercial cybersecurity solutions. Dell Tech's recent report, Federal Cybersecurity Market 2023 to 2027, explores the trends shaping this market and predicts its growth over the next 5 years. Heather, can you take us through the article?
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a report that was written by Dell Tech that is really a forecast of what the next 4 to 5 years are going to look like in terms of cybersecurity spending on behalf of the federal government. And one of the really notable statistics is they're predicting that the increase in spending is going to go from $14.8 billion, which is what it was in fiscal year 2022, to $16.2 billion over the next few years. And so this is a report that's looking at some of the trends and drivers that are shaping the federal cybersecurity marketplace. Some things that are important takeaways here are the federal government has the FedRAMP program, which if you are selling cloud services to the federal government, this is one of the certifications that you might be required to have. And so that's a program that allows reciprocity, and we can look at how that works across different marketplaces between the federal government and the Department of Defense. But some of the other important things from this article are talking about legacy IT systems, how they coexist with more modern systems. We see a lot of legacy IT systems when we're talking about critical infrastructure. For example, energy, water, hospital systems are considered critical infrastructure in the US. So the real takeaway from this is that we're seeing a lot of support at the very, very top levels of our government with this understanding that we have to safeguard our federal information and infrastructure. And it's really a lean into making cybersecurity a top national security priority. We've lost so much information through espionage and other ways, particularly through hacking and data breaches. So this is an effort, and Dell Tech's prediction is based on these efforts that are being made by the federal government to start to improve or reduce the risk of loss of this information.
What would you say is driving the demand for continued investment by the federal government?
Well, it's some of the things that I just mentioned, right? We're losing so much information through data breaches, particularly when we look at some of the federal acquisition requirements that are out there. Most notably, I work with a lot of clients who are subject to DoD cybersecurity requirements, and it can be very, very difficult for the DoD to secure their supply chain. And that's something that they've been working on very hard through these acquisition regulations since 2015. And so the demand for this continued investment really is just what we say sometimes is stop the bleeding of all of this data loss of its intellectual property, not just on the classified side, that's very important, but we're also talking about what we consider to be controlled unclassified information, which is information that would have an impact if it were to be shared with a foreign country or someone that we didn't want it to be shared with. It's not to the level of the loss of top secret or secret information, but it's still important for us to keep a hold on it, understand where it's going, who's got access to it, so that we can protect our nation's security.
Right. And you touched on this briefly when you were answering my first question, but could you take us through some of the key findings from this report in a little bit more detail?
Sure. So we really see 5 categories of drivers that are really pushing this demand for further investment. And one is just the threat environment. We have very complex and diverse threats. Ransomware is a huge problem. Just about everybody worries about ransomware, right? The use of AI is starting to make threats more complex, harder to detect. We're seeing a broader range of threats too. You know, we've done some stories here at Cybercrime Magazine where we've talked about the use of AI to actually generate voices and people and get people to do things because they think they're being told by an executive. So there's a level of change in the threat environment that I don't think we've even really fully grasped yet. The second driver is technology policy, so making compliance and standards and management policies a priority across the government, and that also rolls down to companies that are supplying products or services to the federal government and the DoD. Acquisition requirements, we talked a little bit about that. The DoD has put in place requirements for companies that are doing work with the Department of Defense, and that's starting to spread to federal agencies. You know, Department of Homeland Security has their own set of regulations. NASA has a set of regulations. And so understanding how we're going to manage and enforce some of the things that we're putting in acquisition policy, even something as simple as knowing what type of data requires those protections and requires us to say, if we're going to procure this piece of equipment or this service, is there an exchange of sensitive information there? Just knowing that on the government side requires an investment of some additional people beyond what they have now or additional resources. And then, you know, another driver is technology solutions. This is what we talk about in the trade as tools. It might be security information and event management systems. It might be some investments in AI. It might be satellite technologies. There's a lot in the way of solutions and tools that are both existing now and emerging that are going to require security for a greater adoption. And then finally, workforce strategies. This was interesting. I just saw an article yesterday where the federal government is now transitioning to skills-based hiring versus a requirement for a college degree in specific things. And this was specifically put out to address the shortage of cybersecurity and technical jobs. So those of us who work in the industry know that, you know, a degree is a great thing to have, but the experience and the understanding of how things actually work in the real world is equally, if not more, valuable. And so again, workforce strategies, how are we going to get the leadership? How are we going to get the experience and the skilled workforce to really meet and adapt to these cybersecurity challenges?
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor.
Did you know that meetings are how the government communicates with itself? Planning a government event is a complex endeavor. The Federal Business Council, otherwise known as FBC, will expertly produce your in-person, hybrid, or virtual meeting while ensuring your compliance with unique government restrictions and information security policies. Visit FBC Inc. That's FBCINC.com to bring your event vision to life. FBC Events, the government's most trusted event partner for over four decades.
And now, back to the podcast.
When it comes to supply chain provisions, could you elaborate on their impact on acquisition rules and contract requirements?
As I mentioned, this is something that I work with a lot of clients on. The DoD is probably the furthest along at this point in creating a set of acquisition rules that says, if you're going to do business with us, we want you to adhere to this specific set of security standards so that we know our information is protected. We want you to be able to identify if there's been a data breach and report it to us. We want you to implement this framework of controls on your infrastructure around protecting it. And so whenever you start to implement or whenever you put an acquisition strategy in place like that, it requires people at the government level to not only enforce the provisions, but to make sure that those acquisition strategies are changing with the times. Some of the things that we already talked about, the changes to the threat environment. Does this still make sense? And so that's one of the things, supply chain provisions on acquisition rules. The federal government has a huge pool of companies in their supply chains, and managing that and managing information and cybersecurity is an enormous task.
We're talking about all these changes. What about when it comes to legacy IT systems? How do those impact federal agencies' ability to enhance cybersecurity posture?
Sure. Well, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. When we're talking about critical infrastructure systems, very often they're built on these legacy IT systems that are very complex, and they're very hard to just up and replace with something new. That also means that a lot of times the tools and technology that we have to protect things from a cybersecurity standpoint don't work exactly the way that we think they're going to. You can't use the full capability on those legacy IT systems. And so the impact of legacy IT systems really affects federal agencies' ability to enhance their cybersecurity, because in some ways it drags them down a little bit, it slows them down. But also, these are the systems that typically we see within critical infrastructure. So it's some of the things that are the most important to protect.
Heather, thank you for joining us today. Before we go, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think in closing, the federal government is a huge driver of the economy in so many vertical markets. And so, again, we say this all the time when we're talking on podcasts and the discussion, you can't leave cybersecurity behind. And this investment and some of the changes that we're seeing the federal government make really proves that this is coming from the highest levels of government.
Thank you again, Heather.
Thanks for having me, Amanda.
For Cybercrime Radio, I'm Amanda Glassner, Deputy Editor at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me was Heather Engel, Managing Partner at Strategic Cyber Partners. Today's episode was sponsored by the Federal Business Council, a producer of events to foster meaningful engagement for federal government agencies, the Department of Defense, and the intelligence community throughout the United States. To learn more, visit fbcinc.com. And for more of our media, you can visit our website at cybersecurityventures.com.